how to resist temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, we say what? We say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What do you mean when you say, lead us not into temptation? What do you mean by this? Tempted to do what? To do things. That's exactly right. Lead us not into temptation means make us not be tempted to do sin or to commit sin. Okay? But how temptation develops? How temptation develops? You know how? If you don't know how, let us read what the Bible says. I read from James chapter 1. He said, let us no one, verse 13, let us no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. If you are tempted to commit sin, don't say, I am tempted by God. Why? Because God is holy and he is not tempted by sin, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. God never tempts us to commit sin because he is holy and he wants us to be what? To be saints and holy like him. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So, St. James basically says what? He said, temptation comes from what? Yehul. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So, temptation comes from the wrong desire plus what? Enticement here, there is opportunity. I'll explain this to you. Just look here, okay? I said temptation equals wrong desire and opportunity. What does this mean? If you have the wrong desire, can you give me an example about wrong desire? Lying? Lying is a desire? Is lying desire? Huh? If you have a desire, that's A. Going out where? With girls. Yeah. Going out with girls. Other example. Yeah, that's a desire. Yeah. Wrong desire. Other example. You are eating non-fasting food during fasting? The desire here. Okay. Actually, the desire, if we don't control it, it can be a wrong desire. For example, this desire, you know, actually we need to eat to survive and to live. But if you don't control this desire, then that's a wrong desire. So, if you don't control the desire to eat, then it is a wrong desire. So, for example, If you are fasting, like now we are fasting the Apostles' fast, and you have a wrong desire, which is you need to eat non-fasting food. You need to break the fast. So this is a wrong desire. Okay? The desire that you have right now is to eat non-fasting food. And then there's opportunity. You were invited, you are invited to whatever banquet or to you know, some of your friends or whatever, and they offered you food which is not fast. So now there is the wrong desire and there is the opportunity. These together, these together form a temptation, a source of temptation to you. You are tempted now to break your fast. But if you don't have the wrong desire and there is an opportunity, so what? If you don't have the wrong desire to break your fast and there is an unfasting food in front of you, so what? And the opposite is true. If you have the wrong desire, but there is no opportunity, there is no temptation. So temptation is wrong desire plus what? Do you understand this? Okay. But until now, you didn't sin. Now there is a temptation to sin. There is a temptation to break your fast. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is a step first. Sin, we can say, sin, how do you say it? Temptation plus what? Plus action. So, sin is a step further than temptation. So we can say sin equal what plus what plus what? Wrong desire plus opportunity plus action. Let us read what Saint James said. He said, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his desire and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, that through action, it brings forth, it gives birth to sin. That's sin. And sin, which is full grown, brings forth this. What means sin is full grown? What washed away sin? Confession. Yeah, repentance and confession. So, what is this? This is sin plus what? Plus what? When sin can lead to death and when sin cannot lead to death? If you did what? If you repent. So sin, this is sin plus no? No repent. Okay? Because if you repent, sin is forgiven. But if you don't repent, then sin will lead to what? To death. So we can say this is equal what? A is A plus what? Four things. Start the algebra. So this equal what? Wrong desire plus opportunity plus action plus no return. Do you understand this? في الأول قلنا temptation is wrong desire plus opportunity. Sin, wrong desire plus opportunity plus action. This is wrong desire plus opportunity plus action plus no return. Do you agree about this? Okay. So, if you want to resist to live with God, life is exactly the opposite of what? Of death. So what you should do? You should do what? You should do that, the opposite of this. Right? That is life. Life is the opposite of these four things. What is the opposite? This is wrong desire. So the first step in life to live with Christ, to be strong, to be victorious in your life, the first step is to do what you desire. Yeah. To change your desire. To be holy. Okay, number two, what you should do to the opportunity? To limit your opportunities, right? Limit opportunities. Okay? Number three, what is the opposite of action? To develop self-control. And number four, to repent. And let's speak about these four steps. If you don't have the wrong desire, that is the best. And I'll give you an example of a person who has already satisfied his desires. And there was opportunity to sin. But because he didn't have the wrong desire, he didn't sin. Do you know? It's in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Who had the right desire and there was an opportunity to sin, but he refused and said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Noah. Tell me the story of Noah. You forgot. What was the opportunity to send me? Yeah, actually, yeah. It can drive. Yeah. Actually, the example of Noah can be right. Because God said to him, I'm going to flood the whole world and build an ark for yourself. And maybe if he didn't take God seriously, you know, and if he has the desire to enjoy his life in the world, no matter what God said. Maybe he wouldn't obey God, and in this way, he was, you know, he died with other people in the flood. But he took God seriously, and he listened to him, and obeyed him, and built the ark. But this is not the one who said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Did this use Alfin of Tessa Tatu? Do you know the story of Yusuf? Joseph? What was his story? Any other you have? What story I'm referring to? Yeah, we have 11 brothers and one sister. Who knows the story of Joseph? Yeah. Who knows the story of Joseph?
Oh.
Yeah. Why? Christian? Do you think Joseph was Christian? So remember, Joseph was before Christ or after Christ? Okay, and when people were called Christian, before Christ or after Christ? So Joseph was Christian? Okay. That's the story. You know, he was servant, and his master's wife asked him to commit sin with her. So that is an opportunity, because his master's wife asked him to commit sin with her. That's the opportunity. What do you think? If he had the wrong desire, what would happen? Yeah, we'd do it. But because he had a holy desire in his heart, that's why he refused to do it. And he said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? But remember, and he preferred to be thrown into jail rather than, you know, offend God by his sin. And that's why usually we complain of the peer pressure. Do you know why we feel there is a peer pressure based on what we just explained right now? Because we don't have the right desire. But if we have the right desire, no matter what pressure, this will not, you know, pressure us at all. Because I don't want to do it. I will not yield to it unless if I have the wrong desire. So it is very important. It's very important to have the right desire and to examine your desire day after day. Because if you have the wrong desire and there is an opportunity, then this together compose a very big temptation to you. You will be enticed to commit sin. But if you have the right desire, even in this opportunity, this will not, you know, make a pressure on you or a temptation to you. And how can a person change his desires? How can you change your wrong desires to be holy one? What do you think? If you examine yourself and you found that you have many wrong desires, how can you change these wrong desires? Sorry. Repent. That's right. But practically, what should you do? Just number two, I'm speaking now for a while. The limit opportunity means you already have the wrong desire and you want to limit the opportunity so that you will not sin. But I'm speaking now, this desire, how you change it to make it whole? Cleanse yourself. How? تعرف حد منكم بياخد computer classes؟ في الكمبيوتر بيكتبوا ليه؟ You know this? Do you know what this, you know, abbreviation for what? Do you know it? Yes. Yeah, they will have garbage in, garbage out. Do you understand this? What do you mean garbage in, garbage out? In means what? The input, what you can, the computer. Okay, so if you enter a wrong data, so the output, what you're gonna have, what? Wrong. So if you put garbage, you will have garbage. There's garbage in, garbage out. Can you apply this to change your desire? The desire here is the output. It's what you have. That's the output. So how you change your desire? Based on this rule. Change what comes in. Exactly. How you change what comes in? And considering that your mind and your heart, that is a computer. That's your heart and your mind. And from here comes wrong desire. That is the out. So you need to feed here what? You need to feed here wrong, sorry, right stuff. To have the right desire. Okay? What do you feed your heart and your mind? Give me examples of wrong stuff and right stuff. Okay. Go ahead. For example, Christian music and bad music. Did you hear about these two guys in Colorado who killed, you know, 14 high school students? Did you hear about them? That's the garbage out. Why? You think what they feed it their mind? What did they feed their mind? Violence. From where? From TV. From games. Okay? So that's what they feed them. And that's why what comes out with what? Violence. Okay? So how do you change your desires? If you read the Bible, if you pray, if you listen to, as you said, Christian music, If you read the story of saints, if you listen to the advice of your parents and your spiritual father and your Sunday school teachers, if that is what you feed your mind and your heart, then the out will be holy. You will have holy desires. Because we don't expect, if you read the Bible, then you will have wrong desires. But if you watch bad movies, if you read bad magazines, if you hang around wrong friends, if you listen to bad music, if you go to bad places and nightclubs or interesting variables, and if all what comes in here is really, really, really bad, then do you expect to have holy desires? They expect this? And that's why you know, a person said before, it's a common saying. For example, tell me who are your friends, and I tell you who are you. You know what? Because this will feed your heart and your mind. Involuntary. Don't tell me, no, I can watch TV and I can watch these movies and I can go to these sites on the internet and I can, and I will not be influenced. That's a deception. That's a lie. All this stuff influences. You cannot. But if you surround yourself with holy friends, if you listen to the right advice from your parents or from your priest or Sunday school teachers, if you read holy books and the whole scriptures, that's what you feed in. So what comes out will be right and holy. Okay? Did you get this point? So how do you change your desires? I have to go. Yeah, how? Tell. And also at the same time, to keep yourself away from, that's the first part. But of course, to change your desires needs time. Because if I already have some wrong desires, to get rid of all these wrong desires, it needs time. So, until I get rid of all the wrong desires I have, and until I purify and sanctify all my desires, what they do? Limit my opportunities. If I have a wrong desire, if I want to eat non-fasting food, then I shouldn't go to a place that offers non-fasting food, because this will make what? A temptation, right? So give me examples about how you limit your opportunities. Yeah, we already explained how you change your desire. Now how do you limit your opportunities? مش حد بيجاوب غير الصف ده. لأني I want all of you to participate. جايز. Yeah, so if there is a place that, you know, there is a temptation there, and I know there is a temptation there, I shouldn't go. That's what it is, right? Thank you. What else? That's right. That's absolutely true. But usually there is a thought I am strong. No, I can hang around these places and I'll be fine. Is this a right way to think? What do you mean, depends? Yeah, if you are in this situation and you became like St. Anthony the Great or St. Paul, then I agree with what you said. But even these people wouldn't put themselves in such a situation because there is no fellowship between light and darkness and between, God and devil. So I am sure any person after he changes his desires, he will not accept, he will not feel comfortable of being in a wrong place. لو احنا قلنا ان reading the Holy Bible will help us to change and sanctify our desires, then to limit our opportunities we need prayers. And I tell you what. Because that, in addition to refrain yourself from any place or any situation that makes temptation. Okay? But as the Lord Jesus Christ instructed us several times, watch and pray. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So, through prayer, God will help me to avoid such situation or circumstances in which I'll be tempted to commit sin. So, number one, to change my desires, I need to read the Holy Bible. And number two, to limit my opportunities. Usually, I need to pray this prayer in the Lord's Prayer and lead us not into temptation. Because we said temptation is wrong desire plus opportunity. So, when we pray, lead us not into temptation means avoid any opportunity that makes me sin or be tempted. That is the translation of lead us not into temptation. Don't allow me to be in a situation that I am tempted to sin. That is lead us not into temptation. So by continuing praying this prayer and watching carefully and planning ahead and thinking about every situation, and the best question you should ask yourself is, if our Lord Jesus Christ is in my place, what would he do? What would Jesus do? Many people say, but you are not Jesus. But you are. You should be. Be perfect but as perfect. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. You are required not to be like Saint Mary, not to be like Saint Mark, not to be like Saint Anthony, but you are required to be like Jesus Christ. You are required to be like Jesus Christ. And actually, we are members in his body. So, we are required. And you should ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would he do in this situation? Would he go to this place? Would he hang around these people? Would he listen to this music? Would he watch this? Would he... You should ask yourself, and if Jesus would do it, then do it. If he wouldn't, then don't do it. Remember? The third thing is to develop self-control. Self-control comes from what? One of the words. Self-control is one of the words. Yeah, sir. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, properly. Do you know where the fruits of the Holy Spirit go?
Matthew?
Brother, sorry. John? No, whatever is right. It's in Galatians, chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self control. Against such, there is no law. So, self control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And here is a question. How can I obtain self-control? Keep in mind that self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So how can you obtain self-control? Let the Holy Spirit be with you. That's right. Have. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Who has the Holy Spirit in his heart, let his hand. That will be in. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit? Who baptized you, tell me. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? When did you receive the Holy Spirit? In baptism? Yeah, bravo, Ali. In confirmation. In my room. The second sacrament after. And how do you receive the Holy Spirit? No, I mean in the sacrament of confirmation. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Huh? Yeah. When Abuna anoints you with the Mayron, with the Holy Oil. Actually, this is a little bit advanced, but I'm going to tell you. You receive the Holy Spirit in this sacrament by three ways. What are the three ways in which you receive the Holy Spirit through them in this sacrament? One of them was what? Let's just go through her. In the anointing by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. With Tanya? Yes. Yes. He blows the finger. Enough breath. That's right. And the third? Lemarishmat Bahi did anointing. Huh? Communion? No. In the second. No, this is baptism. No, that's the baptism. Hmm? Rope? The rope? No. There is rope, no. How in the past they used to receive the Holy Spirit? Laying the hand. And Abuna also laid the hand. So through these three things, laying of hands, blowing, and anointing, through these three things, you receive the Holy Spirit. Laying of hands, blowing, and anointing. Do you know how many places upon anoints? 36, good. Do you know where the 36? Santana, they are a sign. Hey, Had. The Addict. That's right. But actually, Abuna make them like a sign of cross. So remember them. Now how do we do the cross? We do cross this way. So Abuna, for that one, Abuna starts by the forehead. That's the first one. And then two nostrils. You can three. And then mouth. And then ear by ear. يبقى كده كام؟ يبقى it's like 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, let's see. Okay? So these are the first 8 signs. Forehead, 2 nostrils, mouth, right ear, right eye, and left ear. These are 8. Forehead, where's he, what's here? Mind. So the first cross here to sanctify your mind, your thinking, your thoughts. And then, what is eyes, ears, nose, taste, what we call this? Senses. So, the first 8 crosses to sanctify what? Your thoughts and your senses. Okay? Camilo. If I do that 8, don't forget that. So, two crosses here to sanctify, but here the heart. So, two crosses here to sanctify heart. So, two crosses in the back to sanctify what? The will. عارفين اللي عارفين دلوقتي جابوا وعارفين منين؟ يعني يوسف وبنت. You know why the back is the will? What goes here?
Spine.
And what's inside? Spine. Spinal cord. Spinal cord comes from it what? Nerve 7A. Control all your body, right? So that is the will, your will. So now how many crosses we have? From the 8 with 2 here, with 2 from the back. How many? 12. Nimbalku? A tool? A tool to sanctify what? Thoughts? Senses? Heart? And will again. Thoughts, senses, heart, and what? Back here, come in.
Shoulder. Yeah. Okay. And in every arm, we have 3 joints. Okay? So every joint takes 2 crosses. One from behind and one from the front. So how many crosses would we have here? 12. Okay? So 12 and 12 came. Okay, the camera red writing. Okay. And what these 12 crosses to sanctify what? Your feet. Right? Sanctify your feet, your action.
What?
Yes, a bit from the
back.
Actually, it was one in the front and one in the heel. But it's the same loin, upper back.
So now, let us say, these 24 crosses to sanctify
thoughts,
senses,
heart,
the will, the heel. What is the next one? Hip, yeah. Okay. Knee. Okay. We'll end. So how many we have in the two legs? 12. So 3 joints, the 6 joints, and 2 crosses, is a 12. So sanctify your way. Right? So this 30 cross, 36 cross, so sanctify what? Thoughts. Senses. Your heart, your will, your deed. Thank you. So, already the Holy Spirit that you received in the sacrament of confirmation sanctified all your body. But you need to keep the Holy Spirit active in you. There is 2 verses in the letters of St. Paul I want you to memorize. The first verse, the Lord grieved the Holy Spirit. And the second verse, not punished the Holy Spirit. Because if you grieve the Holy Spirit, or if you punish the Holy Spirit, then you will lose what? Self-control. And what creates the Holy Spirit? What creates the Holy Spirit? What is the role of Holy Spirit in you? Because He's actually in you. What is the action of the Holy Spirit in you? The main action. Rebuke. He is rebuking me when I sin. Right? And what is the second action? Rabbeinu El, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you and remind you with all the words that I've spoken to you, right? So, the role of the Holy Spirit in my life is to teach me, to rebuke me, to lead me to the right way. So, what grieves the Holy Spirit? He's like my teacher. What grieves your teacher? Exactly, if you don't listen to him. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? If you don't listen to Him. If you ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit starts rebuking you. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. You cannot do this. But if you ignore His voice, and you insist to do what you want to do, then the Holy Spirit... spiritual exercise to develop self-control. Because in fasting, you learn to say what? Say no. No to the temptation. No to the wrong desires. And that's why one of the saints said, the person who does not fast cannot be a martyr. Because if he couldn't say no to certain kinds of food, then definitely he will not be able to say no to be martyred, to be killed for a Christ. And that's why you as youth, I encourage all of you to keep the fasting, to keep all the fasting in the church. Because it is not just not to eat this or to eat that. It will help you to have self-control, to know how to say no, and to know how to resist the temptation. To know how to resist the peer pressure. Number three, Bilhiga, Ininta, to keep the Holy Spirit active in you and not grieved. And last point here, if you didn't control your desires and you didn't limit your opportunity, and if you didn't exercise self-control, and unfortunately you sinned, what you should do? You should repent immediately. And that's why in repentance, we call it is life of repentance. It is not a moment. It's not a momentary thing. It is a life. We need to repent every day and every moment. Repentance, actually, the Greek word of repentance means metanoia. And metanoia means like me. You know, if you are driving this way, the repentance means is to go the opposite way, exactly the opposite. That's repentance. Repentance means instead of heading towards the world, to change your direction toward God, toward Him. That's repentance. So, repentance should accompanied by what? A real change in your life. A real change in your heart, in your desires, in your behavior. If this real change doesn't happen, then your repentance is not right.
and compare the life of St. Moses the Black, the life of St. Paul, the life of St. Mary the Egyptian, the life of St. Augustine, before and after repentance, you can tell exactly what are the changes that happened in their life. Big changes in their life. So repentance means changing. Repentance doesn't mean merely stop sinning. No. Repentance means more than this. It's changing the whole attitude toward God. Because I can stop sinning, but I can have all the wrong desires and all the wrong attitude, you know, inside of me. This is not repentance. Repentance is change from inside before from outside. Repentance doesn't mean to go to Abuna and tell him, you know, I lied and I was disobedient and I don't pray, and that's it. This doesn't mean repentance. But repentance involves six steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But look, just I will name them maybe another time I speak about them still. But عشان تعرفوا إن repentance زي real means real change. أول حاجة في repentance اللي هي regret what you did. We admit your sin to say I am sinner. Because most of us, when we go to confession, we want to justify our sin. Yeah, we don't pray because we don't have time. I'm not fasting because I don't have anything to eat. I lie because, you know, my parents would be very upset at me if I tell them the truth. Usually there is a justification. And that's not repentance. Repentance means I commit this and that's wrong. And I regret what I did. And also, I change the result or correct the result of my sins. Like Zacchaeus. He was unfair and unjust to many people. And when he repented, he compensated them for that repentance. If I stole money, it is not enough to go and tell Abuna, I stole money. No, I have to return this money back. That's repentance. So repentance is to admit what I did, to regret it, and to correct it, and to determine from my heart not to do it again. And to have hope in forgiveness. God will forgive me. And then the last step actually is confession. And before you go to confession, you must, you know, finish all these five steps. To admit and to examine yourself, to admit what you did, to regret it, to correct it, and to decide from your heart you are not going to do it again, and to have hope and forgiveness, and then go to Abuna to confess. These are the six steps of repentance. Just to summarize what we said, what's temptation? Temptation? Wrong desires, wrong opportunity. Sin? Ten. Sin? Wrong? What's death? Okay, so how do you live with Christ? You need to change your desires, limit your opportunities, self-control, exercise self-control, repent. What is the main point in changing your desires? The whole scripture. Second, what's the main point in limiting your opportunities? Pray. What is the main point in self-control? The Holy Spirit. What is the main sixth point in repentance?
regret what he did, admit it, have hope to correct the results of sin, confess the trust to us, pure. Decide or determine from your heart not to do it again. I don't think there is time for questions. You think there is time for questions?
Yes.